Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Your hosts are here tonight on welcoming you to It's Your Journey, Man. You must own it. And that we're going to be looking at the issues that men face, especially men of color or minority men who are living in a society of the majority, where the majority has the power and where we have to deal with the power and deal with attitudes and all of that in terms of our survival. Tonight, I want us to talk about men in a role that they are not familiar with. Men, it's like this society, because of certain illness that are coming about in the sexes, it is causing men to be caregivers. And I was listening to the program that comes on just before this one. It wasn't on tonight. They are traveling to celebrate. Thanks. And one thing, I heard a sermon on Sunday, and they talked about we are gifts to individuals. And a lot of times we think of a gift, we don't think of it in terms of a human being. We think of it in terms of some type of material object. Or we think of a child, a baby, as a gift from God. But we all are gifts. And when we place in people's lives, if we begin to understand it, our being there in terms of being a gift, I think that a lot of the dynamics in these relationships that we see being played out will change. And because lots of times, first thing we want to do is blame somebody else. And who do we blame most of the time? We're always blaming the devil. The devil made me do it, but it was the devil. I'm here tonight to take exception to that. Whenever you look at it, it's your journey. It's your journey. You made those decisions to go down the path that you're going down. So, but that will be a topic for another program. But tonight, I really want us to come to grips with what's coming down the path. The parish nurse who did a thing on caregivers, and her thing was that the future men will be the caregivers because dementia and Alzheimer's is usually, it impacts the women. It attacks women, memory issues. And when it attacks the women, then who are the caregivers? And I thought about it in my own family. And, you know, so many times we sit back and we look across at other people, what's happening in their lives, and we make judgment statements about it, as opposed to what, when you have to face it, then it becomes a different story. You know, I was like, in my situation, I was like Peter. Well, God, I'll take care of her. I will take care of her. You know, sometimes we better stop and think about what it is that we are saying, what is it that we are saying that we're going to do? Do we really know? And it's easier for women, females, to say, to make those statements because they understand caregiving, because they were created to provide care. Care is a child. They are for 9 months. Then when the child came, they nurtured the child. They even nurtured the child when the child was in the womb. So they have firsthand knowledge of what caregiving is all about and what it means and the experience of it. And they can sit with people, sit with them and care. They can sit with them and not allow their emotions to get involved in the situation and circumstances that they are dealing with. Whereas we men, we are wired differently from the beginning. We are basically told we are the protector, we are the provider, and somebody else is responsible for caregiving. And whenever your loved one comes down with an illness, that forces you into that role. When sometimes the cancer forces you in that role, it's the role that you choose because you feel your obligation because of the relationship that you had. And as a result of that, you then find yourself in a situation where you don't know anything, hallelujah. You know hallelujah anything about providing care. I'm not talking about, somebody fall and skin their knee, you get a Band-Aid and put on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about care in the most intimacy, the spirit level, in the spirit realm as well. Because whenever you're dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's, it is an altogether different scene. And eventually, that person, if you've been with that person for years, then you must, some of the questions going to run through your mind, and I'm speaking from experience, some of the questions going to run through your mind is, but this is not the way that we had planned it to be. We had planned to be doing this, this, and this. Or, we can't go out because of the illness. It caused them to do things that is embarrassing, especially whenever they begin to lose control of their biological function. You got to make all of these adjustments in your relationship and how you respond. And whenever everybody is not kind, and they're not unkind the total time, it's like sometimes you get blindsided. And then you got to catch yourself before you react, because in your brain, and I think of brain as a computer, in your memory bank, whenever a person responds to you or puts you in a semi-threatened situation or circumstance, first thing you want to do is what? Lash out. Because you know that if you don't take certain action to protect yourself, that you will be injured. So it is all of these dynamics, all of these new dimensions that's coming into play. Whereas from a female perspective, this is just my observation, the family that my wife come out of, her sister and her mother had it, and whenever I was around, the mother was more calm than the sister. But you know that, but you struggle with, what am I to do now? Am I reaching a point where I can no longer provide the type of care that this person needs because of the way I feel I should be responding? Yeah, there's a lot of dynamics that's taking place that people don't understand. And Christian, I'm a retired United Methodist pastor, and I've been involved in the evangelical movement. I've been involved with the more charismatic arm of the church in my latter year. I am an apostle. I was confirmed or affirmed as an apostle. And if we sit back and you think about the offices that you are in or the offices that you have been in, sometimes you tend to want to respond out of that office. And whenever you do, you are systematically denied a side of you, an emotional side of you, that you need to recognize that exists. Otherwise, as the parish nurse mentioned, that men wind up not committing suicide. Well, they might commit suicide technically, and because you wind up having a heart attack or you wind up having a stroke. And that's because why? I know we don't reach out. You walk around. I don't think that person would have liked that person or would have liked to have been placed in that type of setting. And what are you saying? We men, it's our journey now. It's a journey we're going to take. Most of us going to take. I'm taking it now. And most of you who are listening, at some point in your life, going to be coming into contact with a person that has dementia or Alzheimer's. And you need to sit down and begin asking yourself questions, so that whenever you confront it with that situation or circumstance, you will be compassionate. I dealt with other people who had it, but now I'm on the flip side of the desk. And it becomes a different picture. Whenever you are involved with it, you're immersed in it. And back to Christians, I'm sick and tired. And I started by saying that I'm a retired United Methodist pastor. I have been pastoring for years, and I've been through the fire. I know the Holy Spirit exists. I know that God put his angels around us to protect us. I have been in situations and circumstances that it was God that protected me by my faith. That's what I call it. by my faith, but by absolute or by complete faith. I was able to stand my ground when somebody pulled a weapon on me, and it was snow and ice on the ground, and I was at one of my members had passed, and I was in that community comforting the husband and working out the arrangement, but I had to go to the vehicle. It was snow everywhere. I think that was in 1996. The year was so cold and snowing in Baltimore. And we couldn't even have funerals. We had the ground was frozen. And so these young boys was out there. I had to pass them to go to the car. And they were throwing snowballs. And I said, look, I'm no kid. And I was very polite. On my way back, one of them pulled out their little pistol, pointed at me, and I felt like there felt a hole in my forehead, and I just said a prayer and turned to walk away, and all I saw was the young man's lips moving. But that's by faith. I knew that God, so what I'm saying is, I know that God is with us as we go through what we're going through. All I'm saying is Christians need to think before they talk. They need to think. First thing they, all you need is Jesus. Oh, you're not praying hard enough. Maybe you need to start praying for the person. Maybe you need to come by the house and say, is there anything I can help you with? Or if you don't come by the house, if you just reach out to them. All I'm saying is we need to get a life. And men, now women could receive it differently than the way we receive it. That's been my experience with it. And people gonna say nasty things to you. Additionally, never were nasty. And you have to learn how to smile, and keep it moving. And then on the day when you're tired and the Lucifer, the devil, whatever terminology you want to use, the characteristic you want to use, give him. Yes, when you're tired, just like Jesus was tired and he tempted him, you're going to be tempted. And you're going to have to understand that instead of reacting, and it's not easy, tell you straight up, it's not easy. Yes, I'm a retired pastor, and I put up with a whole lot of pastoring. But it's sometimes you sort of, your mind sort of flips back to the street. And you know, I don't have to take this. I don't have to put up with this. But that thought went through, as long as you don't act on the thought. When you start acting on the thought, that's whenever you know that it's time for you to find help for yourself. Or that's whenever it's time for you to start looking where your loved one can be placed and where they can get the help that they need, because you are no longer capable. You have reached your limit. And it's okay. It's better for you to do that than for you, because that person will injure you or cause you to injure them. And that's not helping you nor them, because if you're the caregiver, who's going to take care of them once you're not around? All I'm saying is, those of you who are listening, that Native American saying about Walt, now I'm blocking out on it. I'm sorry. I'm just going to paraphrase it. Until you walk in another man's shoes, you need to keep your mouth shut. That's
so
my
true.
Version of my take on it. Because you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. Now, that's another thing I want to mention. That person, you can go to the doctor. You can go to church with them. Out there, they're the sweetest person around. They make people think that you're the one with the problem and not them. I went through that. I went through that with friends of mine and with even my family members. And until they were around my wife for a length of time and I wasn't there, and then whenever I did show up, they had to apologize because they realized that I was being truthful. Now, some of them, they went so far as to say, I am beginning to forget things myself. In other words, they were beginning to overlay themselves and what they were doing, what they were feeling onto my wife, and they were in denial. And then the friend of ours, for over 55 years. Well, we became friends in the 60s and 62, 63. And the wife, she thought it was me until maybe about 5 years ago. We were there at their house. And they always, the ladies always go shopping. And this particular time, whenever they returned, then they came to me and they let me know that I was right and they were wrong because they saw for themselves. But back to how did that impact me? Even your friends may start looking at you out of the corner of their eye. The doctor, the way I got the doctor, because I always set out a doctor's appointment up together and one right after the other. And that day, the doctor came to me and asked me to come in. He saw something that he hadn't seen before. And I think he probably thought it was just me. And I guess he wanted to say I might have been controlling, but no. It was me. What might have been me was maybe I had feelings of embarrassment for my wife in terms of her not being able to answer the question. Maybe I answered it too quick. But so all of those things, I mean, you may go through, and you should be prepared. The other thing they told us, the doctor told me when I told my offspring, that we need to start looking for a place. Because that's what the doctor, he said, a memory doctor, and gave us a pamphlet that we need to start looking for a place because so when that time comes, we won't be running around like a chicken with our neck cut off, as we used to say, because that's the way we used to kill chickens.
Yes.
Go out in the yard and grab a chicken and chop their head off. And the chicken just splatter all around the yard. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. Before the pandemic, my offspring and I, we made a conscious decision that we were not, if things got bad, we would keep her at home. We would not subject her to a home because of the pandemic. And her sister stayed with her offspring, her daughters. They kept her as long as they could, but they wound up having to put her in a memory unit. The mother, the sister, kept the mother at home until the mother passed, but then at times the mother would go to a facility and stay in a facility. And it was a nice facility, one similar to what my mama's in. And she's in independent living, memory care. And the family, we could go sit and have lunch. And then they had a special room. If there was a family activity, we could go there and have lunch or whatever with her mama. And that's where I concluded that where my mama is, it's a similar situation, the way it is laid out. And lastly, and then I'll take comments and questions. Lastly, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked, because it can run up to $6,500 a month. It can. And we were fortunate. The unit that we found where my mom is much less, but the quality of care is good. We and any family members can walk in and out of there and without having to make an appointment. And that's the good part about it. And you can walk in and go to the apartment, and or you can have lunch. And that gives you an opportunity to look around and be observant. And so far, I haven't ran across any issues, but that was one thing that people told us: you have to go, you go, because some of these places that people don't care, they couldn't care less. But like I said, you're a believer, don't even worry about that, but just be prepared for sticker shock when you have to look around to find a place. And that's also one of the reasons why, for people who can't really afford it, why the state, the county, or whatever, providing the care. That's why they will provide, will pay somebody to take care of a family member or somebody to take care of their loved one at home, which is so much cheaper. And questions, comments?
Praise the Lord. I just going to say, I've worked with patients and family members that I'd know for years, and then when the change came about in them, and I'd have to hear the same thing over and over again, the same question, as if, you know, they didn't really realize that they was asking it or going through it. And, you know, I've basically been some type of a caregiver all my life with my mom, with all of her issues back when I was growing up with her living and everything. And it takes a person with patience, takes a person with a loving heart to be able to deal with it. But at the same time, you're hurt on the inside as you're doing all of this. It's much greater than the work that you're doing for the person, seems like, because you hurt so bad because there's no more that you can do to change a person's health when they're going through a situation in life. You want to do more, but you're limited to what you can do when you're caring for somebody. And it's just like I got an article here from, it says John Dunlap, medical doctor. And, you know, he's talking about, you know, he says dementia can inflict its victims with memory loss and render them unable to care for themselves. It can cause them to wake up every morning not knowing where they are or who's feeding or bathing them. People with dementia often want to say something but are unable to organize their thoughts or even form of words. And it says dementia can change personalities. It has transformed wonderful, loving, godly people into terrain. It can wrap a vibrant relationship with God's favor over the years. Its presence can make our very existence become a horrible burden that drains the life out of those we love. Or it can send us to the nursing home to be cared for by strangers until we die. So it not only can the person that's going through the dementia, but the person taking care of them, it can affect them in a way to whereas they could go, you know, to the rest home in a way that, you know, they never know. But then it says God's purpose for dementia. I was just reading up on some stuff, and it said, I wish everyone's experience with dementia was as positive as Helen's, talking about a woman in the rest home. Unfortunately, they often aren't. Yet, our God is a redeemer, and he can use the heartaches of dementia in many ways to accomplish his ultimate purpose, to display his glory. Here are three of the ways I have seen God use dementia for his people's good. And it just gives three different things, and then it gives how. And the one was the sanctified caregiver. You know, it says Christians shouldn't be scared of dementia because of what goes on, and we have to go through situations in life as God's people, and we experience things that don't seem right sometimes, but we go through. And it says, in the last stages of dementia, the growth may come more in a character of values of a caregiver. They may also grow in patience, trust, and the ability to love unselfishly. Too often people with dementia live in their own little world. They are not interested in particularly aware of the world outside. They do not remember much of the past and do not care about the future. They live in the here and now in a private world. But it says God is glorified with loving people. Take the time necessary to understand that world in the sense they allow themselves to inhabit the world of a person with dementia. They spend time with them, seek to understand how they feel, and learn how to communicate love to them. The victims of dementia still possess an inherent dignity as excuse me, as God's image bearers, respecting that diligence, I mean the dignity glorifies God.
Could you pause there for a moment?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think that's good. I think that's good. It's a good article. But I take exception to a lot of it. It's a good theoretical explanation. But it doesn't deal with the spiritual, emotional drain that people go through. That sounds like, and I'm not racist, nor am I prejudiced, but it's the culture. It sounds like a Western European culture understanding. Our culture is different. We feel that we should take care of our people, even keep them at home. And the things that we go through is a little different than what they go through. And
it is.
I was pastoring a large white church, large, and I recognized the differences in their understanding and their response to God. And what I was getting from what I was hearing was sort of not comforting from a perspective that of my culture, of my understanding of God and my responsibility to those individuals. A lot of us, we then get divorced. We put up with all kinds of stuff. And what happens is they know how to cut and run. And I'm not saying, you know, that that's right. But I am saying we don't cut and run until the absolute last second. And sometimes that is why we wind up with having a stroke, why we wind up with a heart attack. Whereas they will automatically find a home and put somebody in, and they have the financial means of putting them there in one, whereas lots of times we don't. And because we don't, then we have to figure out a way that we can keep them in the home and provide the care that they need, because we feel that it is our responsibility. And I'm not dealing with, not talking about this marriage stuff, because I have a take on that too. Historically, they did not allow us to marry. Historically, we had to jump the broom. We had to go through all kinds of changes. Where you'd stay with a person 7 years, and then a common law marriage that was set up all for us. And all I'm saying, whenever we, some of these things that they put out there, and I come at it from, okay, personal experience. I went to two groups. One group, I knew it wasn't that because they weren't dealing with my issues. They were talking about money and how you, it's not, how can I say this and be not be judgmental? how you take the people's money in essence and how you invest the money so that the money makes money in essence is what they were really, really doing. And making sure that the money was set aside so that you had enough to take care of everything. And from a selfish standpoint, that there was some left for you. The other one, well, that was a mixed group too. It was mixed, but it was the, I can't think of what that person was. It was more like a planner, somebody who was into financial planning. They were there, and I wasn't there. I was dealing with the relationship. The other one I went to, which was Usher's, when I say Usher's, it was minority driven. I was the only person there. And that's the other reason why I wanted to talk about this tonight. We need to realize that we need to be in these groups so that we can deal with our issues, so that we can, it's like when I was passing, to me the most important part of the worship on Sunday morning was the testimony. I had a section in the bulletin. I encouraged people to testify. What has God done for you? What are you doing for God? And my thing was that Susie and John is sitting beside you in the pews, and they're hearing your testimony. And as a result of that, their relationship with God can grow to where they can receive that. All I'm saying is, and maybe that's a time, a program for another program, we think about doing one on the culture conditioning and its impact on caregiving, because there is a big, big difference, as well as the economic impact that it has as well. But yeah, that article, the article is great, but some of it is not speaking to the person. And the other part was, it was putting responsibility on God. God, my thing, and this is me, the reason I was saying, so we stopped there. I went through that, went through it, jumped out of that, with God, take care of it, God, one day, it got so bad, I realized I can't handle it. And my thing was, I can't scream on the radio through the mic, but that was my thing to God. I did not know, and that's my thing was, I did not know it would be like this. And the thing is, it's not that way all the time. It just comes in spurts. And my relationship with God is different from that man's relationship that wrote that article, because I,
well, what it was, he was the article, he started out, but it went into an African retired lady, missionary lady. As it got on down into it, and what it was, it talked about how her husband took care of at home until his own infirmities took over, to where he or she wasn't able to live within the home, and they both had to end up going to a rest home. But the other part about where he was talking was his article.
about, you know, God, everything. But the ending part was just telling about, you know, the caregiver and how her and her husband, as an African, she was an African missionary lady that was retired, and she ended up with dementia. And her husband, he took care of her at home until his own infirmities got the best of him and he couldn't care for her no more. So he had to find a place for her, and he ended up, you know, in a rest home. But as you look at it, they both had to be up in the age pretty good for both of them to have to end up, you know, him not being able to take care of her no more with her dementia and things that she was going through in life. And then him, you know, he just had sicknesses and other things that he was going through himself, and he could no longer take care of his wife the way he wanted to at home. So they both ended up having to go to a facility for her to have help and him too. And what you were saying, the article was from the man on his purpose of what he thought about God could do, and the way God, you know, like you said, you lean on God for everything, but you have to go through an experience. And sometimes the experience is far greater than what a person thinks. Your situation, mm-hmm. you live with it every day. You live with it every day. As caregivers, we lived day by day as when we had to go in and face it. So you have been first partaker of what you live and you see, and it's much harder on you as a caregiver being within the home 24/7 than what it would be for me or anyone else when we are given the care for someone and have to face the situation. So you know firsthand by experience what it's like. And I, you know, just for me working as a caregiver and having to face it, I can't imagine the 24/7 situation that you're facing. And it talked about there's many, many, many different mixed types of Alzheimer's and dementia and things like that because of the way that the I believe it said something with the brain cells and all of that it damages mm-hmm. and things happen and mm-hmm. all kind of different things that people go through with that situation. So it's got to be bad on you to have to go through it.
Well, I think I have lost 5 years of my life.
That makes a difference in life.
Yeah, I'm 77. I figure, hey, the rate I'm going with this and the impact that it's having, it's chopping years off. And yeah, that's one of the things that we have to face and realize that that's what's happening. And because you sit there sometime and you look at that person, and what I had to do at times, I don't know who that person is, and I had to accept that as opposed to sitting there trying to say, well, that's my wife. No, that's not my wife.
Mm-hmm.
At that particular point in time, that is not who I married. And we have to look at things realistically. And when I started looking at things that way, it became easier to deal with. And but see, I had friends of mine, well, you can handle it. You can deal with it. You remember what you said? Yeah, I remember what I said. But what I said, that person I said that to and about, is not this person here. And I think that we start looking at things realistically. That's not the person. Therefore, I still have obligation, okay? Obligation to take care of them or see to it. See, some people, I should take care of them. And
that could
also mean that I see to it that they are taken care of.
Yes.
And see, that's the hard part, cause you have to shut things down that normally you could do in order to give up something to do something. And you know, I can't imagine myself what it would be like, you know, taking a situation from you, cause at the end of the day, when I would be a caregiver, I was able to leave the person in somebody else's hand and go home, you know. So your situation is completely different as being a caregiver as mine was, because mine wasn't ongoing, but yours is. And you have a whole lot more responsibility to what you have to do than I had to do when I was a caregiver.
But we thank God for you, because that time that you were there, whenever you can feel comfortable with leaving the house, and just even if it's not for going to walk around the block, you can feel comfortable leaving that person with someone and knowing that when you come back, that person will not have been abused. Now,
So
don't play down on yourself on your role that you play.
Not that I play down on my role, but what I look at when I look at this situation, you know, when you're in a situation that's been a caregiver, your job is to do the best that you can for any and everyone, no matter the circumstances or the situation that they're in. My first thought was, how would I want somebody to be to me if I was in the same position as this person? I want to be that type of person to be the best that I can be, because that's what I would want myself. It doesn't mean every day that a person is going to face that situation if they come into it, to have a person to do it. But you have to take the initiative to want to be the best that you can be for and to that person. And if you can do that, like you said, and show the love to them, let them know that they're loved, and just continue on. Because I've heard many stories when I go in over and over again. I was asked many questions over and over again. I went on as if it had never been said to me, as if I'd never heard it, and go right back to the same thing and tell them, and we'd life and we'd go on, and they felt good about it and everything. Long as I could make them feel important, still yet as a person, it didn't matter what situation I had to go through to make them feel that way, because long as they was happy, I was happy. And my first thing was to see them at the best that they could be, no matter what. And if I could do that, I felt good about what I was doing as far as my job, because I know that I was doing the best that I could with the help of the Lord on my side, because he had to put the love in my heart to want to be that way, to want to do it, and, you know, just go ahead and do it. Because if it hadn't have been for him on my side and the enemy would have took over, I could see how some people is the way that they are harsh to people, mean to people, and things like that, because you could get aggravated with certain things that come about to you over and over. You could get tired of hearing this. You could get tired of being asked this over and over again, you know. But without the love of God deep down inside your heart and giving you the ability to want something more better for the person, because if you get caught up on self, self gonna turn away. But if you mess around and concentrate and focus on the person and what God is giving you to do for them, then it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy by no means, but you have that type of love inside you to do it and do it to the best that you can, and you don't mind doing it. Because there's a lot of people just take it for the money. A lot of people don't care about, you know, themselves. If they can get a paycheck and they get in and get out, they all right. But you have to have the ability of caring for somebody. When it says caregiver, that's what you should be willing to do. Give your care to somebody that's truly in need of it the best that you can, to make them as comfortable to be around you and as happy to be around you as you can. And they begin to trust you with that, because they can see that love that you show for them. They can see that care that you show for them. It don't matter whether they go back over and over about the same things and their thoughts is not the same as it was. It's all about showing that care and love for them in the best that you can. And if you do that, that person's happy. They might be going through that situation of not being able to remember things and doing things over and over again, but they can feel that love and everything that you're giving to them. And sometimes it gets hard to continuously do this over and over again, but you have to just go on and keep your concentration on it. That's why I said it wasn't that I was letting myself down or put myself down towards it, but I was just saying, in your situation, you're dealing with it more often over and over again than I had to as a caregiver. I worked 5 days a week, and I had more than just one client that I would go to. Every one of them was in a different state of the dementia and everything. But the thing was, I went through the same thing with each and every one of them. I even had one to ask me if I mind praying with him and everything. And I told him, I said, no, I don't mind at all. And he'd just cry and go on sometimes and just appreciate, you know, the things I was doing for him. And I told him, I said, well, to God be the glory, you know. He's given me the love that I have to want to do something that I enjoy. And you have to enjoy doing something as a caregiver in order to be able to do it. And, you know, back to the same thing I was saying, it's not easy. Sometimes it's not easy at all. Because you face that situation that you hate to see in people that they're going through, and there's not enough that you can do to change anything. That's why you do the best you can to help along as you can.
Yeah, our time is up, but do you want to pray for men on their journey, that they accept whatever journey that they are on?
Yes. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, it's once again, Lord, we come before you humbling ourselves, thanking you, dear God, for another day that you've given us of your love and mercy, looking over us, Lord. We ask that you just, everybody that may have been listening or on tonight, Lord, that the men would just look, Lord, because we're going through situations in our lives sometimes we don't understand, Lord. But, Lord, we have to step up, Lord, and just continue to make that way, dear God. because you have given us the strength and everything that we need. If we are focused on you and your word, and we'll look to you, the main source for everything we go through. You are the source, and everything else is a resource, dear God. We can look to you for anything. We ask that you bless all of the men, the young men, the old men, to look towards you, Lord, and continue to do the will that you have given them to do. And anyone that may be a caregiver, Lord, we ask that you give them the strength, Lord, to do the job that have been set before them, because we don't know what they're going through, Lord. But, Lord, you know. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to strengthen them, Lord. Even the ones that's going through with the problems of the dementia and Alzheimer's, dear God, you know the situation, Lord. You know how to handle each and every case. We ask that you work in us, Lord, that we may work and do your will and share with someone else, Lord, and encourage them in a way that you give us, because there's nothing we can do on our own. We have to have your help in everything we do. We ask that you bless the men to do everything that you've given them to do, to step up, dear God, as men, the way that men supposed to. No matter the situation, it's only in our heart that we can make the change, Lord, that you give us. And it's up to us to want to sincerely make that change. If we do and we trust you, we can do it. We ask that you bless each and every one this night, the ones on the show, the ones that have listened to the ministry, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes,
amen.
Lord. Glory be to God.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all, and I truly do thank you. And we're just praying that you know, your struggle and everything, he'll comfort you in your struggle, give you peace and rest in it, to where you'll be able to just continue to just go through and do the things that you have to do. And we love you, and we're praying for you.
All right, sir.
Y'all have a blessed one.
Shalom.
Yes, sir.